to Weigh-In Sports Talk. Welcome to Weigh-In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, June 2nd. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564 or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarzino or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin. Let's weigh in.
Well, well, welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk, everyone. Sunday night's one of my favorite shows. We're going to try to go at least an hour tonight. Sorry about the hiccup. It seems like at 9 o'clock, the computer always seems to freeze up. And I hit the button twice, so yes, you heard the intro to the song two times. So welcome, everyone. Sorry for the the error on the studio here, but we're going to have a great show tonight. We have a great one lined up for you. We're going to discuss some NBA talk. We're going to discuss Game 7 tomorrow night. And we're going to find out exactly what the Miami Heat are doing right now, because I don't know. If they plan on winning the championship, I think they need to reinvent themselves overnight, because I don't think they're playing good enough right now to win a Game 7 against the Pacers team that seems to be on a roll. But we'll talk about that. We're going to talk some college football, maybe a little NFL football, get into it. We'll have some guest callers call in. So I'm going to go ahead and get the call-in number for everyone, 646-716-5564. And I just wanted to say, the last week we had three shows, actually, and we had a lot of listeners. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. Even if you can't make it live, make sure you can get in the archives and listen to it. We appreciate all the support. And the closer we get to college football season, the more amped up we're going to get. I'm already excited. We just hit June 2nd, and we're only a couple months away. So next Sunday night, we're going to actually go into our preseason top 25. It was scheduled for tonight. But the host I am, I forgot about it. So I wanted to do some research on it more before I actually went into 25 teams. So we will hit that next Sunday night. And Trey is not with us tonight. I think Jonathan's in studio with us. How's it going, Jonathan?
It's going good. It's going good, Brian. I actually just went out and bought and got my first couple preview magazines for the college football season. Was doing some in-depth research today.
Okay, cool. Well, you're free to join us tonight. I appreciate you calling in. I know Jason and Sonia are going to call in tonight. We're going to talk a little hockey. We're going to talk several things. And actually, I received a message on Facebook, one of the groups I'm in. They want to discuss, you know, female agents, female trainers in college sports or in high school sports, actually. So they're going to call in just a few minutes. I'm going to let them come on. So remember, any topic you want to discuss, as long as it's serious, we'll discuss it here on Weigh-In Sports Talk. So hope everything's good with you, Jonathan. Game 7 tomorrow night, but I want to go back to Game 6. So there's a lot to discuss. We're going to try to hurry up and discuss it. We don't want to beat a dead horse here. But I was under the belief, Jonathan, that the Miami Heat was going to come out last night and take care of business in Game 6, and it wouldn't go 7 because a champion doesn't let it go to Game 7 and leave it up to chance. But something happened last night that when I was watching that game, I realized there's no doubt now that Dwayne Wade is injured. I mean, I don't know what happened to him throughout the season, maybe the wear and tear. Chris Bosh is playing scared. And that's one thing I've noticed last night. He will not attack the basket. He will not go in and try to crash it. He is scared of Hibbert. And I don't know if that's going to change from last night until Monday night, because if anybody's feeling pressure right now, it's the Miami Heat. It's not the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, the Heat are the number one seed. You know, they're the number one seed in the NBA. They're the favorite to take it all. And – well, you know, they're under immense pressure because the Pacers were just supposed to be some hard, scrappy team that they, you know, they handled last year, supposed to handle them this year. So there's a lot of pressure on the Heat tomorrow night. There's a lot of pressure on LeBron James tomorrow night, more than anybody else on that team, though. Don't be mistaken.
Yeah, it definitely is. And when I was watching the game last night, I do think LeBron James was holding something back. I do think that he was hoping someone would step up, because if anybody can step up in a Game 7, it's LeBron James. He's proved it time and time again. and some stats, and I know are overused, but the Miami Heat have not lost two consecutive games in forever. And for Indiana to come out tomorrow night on the road and beat Miami, it's going to take the same tough physical games they've been playing, especially in Indiana. I mean, Miami came out in a crucial game 3 and won. They won a crucial game 5, but now, I mean, it doesn't get any more crucial than a game 7. And I just don't know what to think because, you know, my initial prediction, I mean, you can see it on Facebook, I had Indiana in 7, and that was a lot of wishful thinking. But as I watched the series develop, you know, I thought Miami was going to take control, especially after they won game 3. But these Indiana Pacers will not go away. And when I looked at Hibbert last night, the interview, Jonathan, it was just like what he said. I mean, I don't understand when these stars get a microphone in front of them in an interview, they say some of the stupidest things in the world. Hibbert was fined $75,000. And do you think that was fair?
Mm-hmm. After the Kobe Bryant incident and how much he was fined, I actually thought $75,000 was within that range. What he said I didn't think was truly too offensive, but at the same time, any homophobic slurs of any kind are not acceptable, whether in public or in private. And also, never, ever, ever drop an F-bomb during a live press conference. Never.
Especially an MF-bomb. Oh. Especially an MF-bomb, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. $75,000. That's what I expected. There was rumors that he'd be suspended, and that really would have that would have created uproar. So I'm glad they just fined him.
Yeah, you fined him $75,000. But the problem I have with it is Hibbert said he didn't have any problem. You know, he didn't mean it in that way. But then he tries to go out and tweet Jason Collins and get in touch with him. Look, if you didn't mean it, you didn't mean it. I mean, just say it and go on, but everybody knows you did. I mean, that's just one of the things. It's easy to look back and say, oh, I didn't mean it, but we all make mistakes. We all say stupid things, but really, I mean, what you say comes out of your heart. So if you believe it or you said it, it's probably what you really believe. But look, this guy right now, they don't need any kind of distraction. They don't need any kind of outside distraction looking at it. This is game 7. They don't need to be focused on Hibbert's comment and the fine. They need to be focused on beating Miami. So Hibbert got left out of defensive MVP, and it was because, you know, the media, they say, I mean, Indiana's not a team that actually is visible to the public. I mean, I didn't get to watch Indiana play this year much, unless it was on the free NBA trial I had on DirecTV. But being able to watch Indiana, you don't get to see them on a nightly basis. They don't have stars on their team, really. The household names like LeBron and Kobe, Tim Duncan, Parker, all those guys that are on TNT or every week and on ESPN. So that's what he was saying is, it doesn't matter how I'm playing. I'm not the best in your eyes because you don't even watch it. You vote on it, but you don't even know who we are. And that's true. But he doesn't need to come out after having an amazing game 6 to force a game 7 and make a fool out of himself. That's the problem I have. And now all the momentum I feel that they carried on the court could be gone now because of these comments. And I'm not very happy with Hibbert, and I'm sure the Indiana Pacers organization isn't either.
I agree 100%. I think the organization and, you know, Donnie Walsh and co. are not very happy with Hibbert because he brought negative attention to a team that does not need it. They're having a fantastic playoff series against a great team. You don't need anything negative to come out. And hopefully he can overcome this. You know, that we can push this by the wayside and see a great game 7 from both squads.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, a Monday night game, and I don't know what else to say about this game except you have to watch the matchup. We have to watch Anderson's coming back, which that'll help him down low a little bit. But if Chris Bosh doesn't step up and play a good game, and if Dwayne Wade doesn't step up and play a good game, this is all for nothing, guys. I'm telling you, Miami will lose this game 7 in Miami if they do not have somebody step up. And it's easier to step up when you're home. You see a lot of these role players, bench players, they come out when they're at home and the crowd's there. I could see after the second half last night that Miami lost interest. They got punched in the mouth and they realized, well, okay, they're not ready to fight back. But tomorrow night, if they're not ready to fight back, you're going to have an Indiana-San Antonio series on your hands instead of a Miami-San Antonio. So I'm interested to see it. Most of the people are predicting the Miami Heat. I believe they're about a 6.5, 7-point favorite. And I'm going to see what happens. But we're going to take a caller real quick. And I think I know who this is, a Scott caller. You're on Way In Sports.
Oh, assholes! Hey, I want to talk about the Spurs.
Hey, you can talk to yourself, sir. And people out there know who I am. I don't put up with that. And Sonya's listening right now. She probably knows who that is. She probably has a good idea who that is. I told her before the show started. Sonny was getting prank calls today. And Scott caller, you're very smart. Even though you're a Scott caller, I have a decoder and I know your phone number. So good job, dude. I'm going to have about 150 text messages and calls coming to you tonight. So good job out there. So, Jonathan, as I was saying, this is going to be an interesting game seven. I think I have Sonya on the line here. Sonya,
okay.
What's up, guys?
How are you doing?
Carmen, why don't you blast that number out?
I will.
I told you this would happen. The joys of wonderful rivalries and all that silliness. What's up, guys? How are you?
Oh, doing good. Just love ignorant callers on a Sunday night.
Well, you knew that was coming.
Yeah, well, what's up with you tonight?
We had a little emergency coming up, so we won't be able to stay on that long, but we'll try to listen and pop in and out. We're just chilling. We're counting down for football. I'm sick of all these other sports. I'm ready for the real sport to come back.
Yeah, there is only one sport right now. It's college football and everything else.
I know. I don't care about any of
this
crap. I mean, honestly.
I'll follow it from afar
just because, you know, if I can talk about it and pay attention and all that crap. But as far as being into it and wanting to talk about it, no, I really don't give a darn who is the NBA champ. I could give a flying fart about baseball. I'm married to a Minnesotan, so I have to follow hockey. But I'm ready for football to come.
Oh, me too. And we're June 2nd today, so we just have to make it through the dog days of summer, Sonya. June, July, and August, and we're there. I think once August hits, I think the fever will really start. Seems like
well, yeah,
August
because
1st.
It'll be previews, preseasons, countdowns, polls, and all of that crap. But I want to give you your props, Tarvin, because one thing I got to say about this show, you guys have an agenda, number one. You stay on target, number two. Your voices have personality, number three, and it's interesting. So just want to give you props. And well, a lot of people don't know that you were the first, if not one of the first, to actually have a show on an internet radio show, a college football sport or all sports group, and a page. So kudos to you for that, because I know a couple of other people are trying to claim that they were number one or they're doing it first, but nope, sorry. Way In Sports was one of the first.
I appreciate
that. No, Roger.
I appreciate that, Sonya, and you've done a lot. You and Jason have done a lot to help the growth, and y'all are the regulars and fixtures on the show, so we appreciate all y'all have done, the advertising and just being there with the conversation. So it wouldn't be football season without Jason and Sonya.
Well, we thank you. We've got our own thing kind of going on. I've kind of told you about that. We should see what happens with that with the first couple of sports. But we're looking forward to some great things from you and looking forward to getting to hear some other shows coming up. But just wanted to give you your props for being the first to actually take this thing on the internet and have a sports group and have a page and bring all of us together and to actually have an interesting show, staying on point, personalities on there, staying on target, having your research done before you get on air, and all sorts of fun stuff. So just wanted to give you a shout-out and give you guys a props for that. And how you doing, Jonathan?
Hold on, there's Jonathan back.
Hi, Sonya. It's nice to hear your voice, Sonia. I'm doing great. It's great to hear from you guys.
Had a lot of things going on, but I wanted to call in. I told Tarvin I definitely would call in tonight, and I'm going to try to listen. I'll hit one when I want to come back on. I know you guys were talking about, what was it, the NBA and some other stuff. I just came on the tail end of the conversation, and I heard the wonderful prank caller call. Yeah, keep it classy, dude.
Well, I appreciate it. Sonia, when you hang up, hit number one and then come back and hit one, and I'll get you back in, and we're going to appreciate y'all's support. We're going to take a caller from the 313 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? Well, they didn't want to talk anymore. So thanks, Sonia and Jason, for your support. It means a lot coming from y'all. Appreciate all the support y'all have given us. And we try to be good. We try to bring something fresh to you. We don't want to be redundant. We don't want to mumble and just make everybody boring. So if I'm getting too boring, just let me know. I mean, it happens. But I think the 313 caller is back now. Hey, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is David Mims.
Hey, David. How's it going, sir?
I can't complain. Football players get recruited high school, college to pro, and you're in my group and always seeing all the exciting things you're doing, and that's why I thought I'd throw something in there with women in football.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the call. And so you want to just talk about female agents and female trainers developing high school to college?
Right. And the thing about it is I'm not opposed to it, because there's some pretty good women out there doing some things now. Some the average guy, they'll be opposed to it, but I don't think it's a bad idea, because, one, a lot of these kids are single-parent moms, and they'll take heed, and they'll blend in faster. Men will blend in faster by listening to a woman as long as she's staying on.
Yeah, so give me some examples maybe that you're looking at. I mean, maybe a school or something that could do this.
Right. Well, I just talked to, and I didn't know it. And one of my clients, he when he was playing college football, he had a female trainer come in and actually had them doing insanity classes and had them doing different aerobic fitness classes. And then also, I've actually ran into a former Detroit Lion who his trainer was a female, and it was pretty good. Aaron, I forget his name. He got released from the Lions, but he was a running back with the Lions, and I thought it was interesting. And you know, it's like I'm not against it in any respect, but I'm like, as long as he has a background in training and sports, then I don't think it'd be a bad idea. But I know the average guy is totally against it, or you know, the fact that if a woman is playing football, how could a woman teach a high school boy how to become a football player if she didn't play high school? Because the only way a woman could, so to speak, play what we call semi-pro or pro, or what they call pro football for women, is that she'd have to play at least college, or she had to get a certain age. And then she develops into a football player, which they have football leagues all around the country. So, you know, I'm just curious to see what other people think.
Well, that's a good topic that we'll bring up in our groups and discussion, and I appreciate that. So tell us, so you own your own service?
Yeah, we have a scout and recruiting service. And basically it's high school to college, JUCO to college, transfers. And basically what we do is we mentor athletes nationwide. Even though we live in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan, Metro Detroit area, we do a lot of our business around, you know, the big three, Florida, Texas, and California, with football scouting and recruiting. My brother is a pro, the high school JUCO pilot, you know, contact to help kids. And then I deal with the pro side, the college to pro. And basically what we do is we put together outline for them, and then we find them opportunities that are realistic and legitimate, which they can touch. Like if a kid says he wants to play D1 football and he doesn't have D1 grades or athletic ability, we'll send him to a quality NAIA or D2. Or if a kid comes out of college, He comes out of a D1, and his skill set was enough to get on the indoor team. We'll say, hey, man, you had skill set to play indoor football. So we're kind of honest and across the board. We're really helping kids to a true reality when it comes to football.
Yeah, that's good. So maybe one time soon we can set up something where you can come back on. We can do a full interview with you. But I want to thank you and appreciate your time. And I'll put this out on the message group. So if you're not a member of Weigh In Sports Talk, go be a member of it. And I appreciate the call, sir.
We'll definitely post it.
You have a great day. And thanks for the call. That was a good, interesting topic. It makes you think. And I've never thought about women have it being the trainers and actually the agents, but I mean, I don't see a problem with the agent part of it because they can represent with the best of them. But as far as the training, I mean, there's female trainers out there. There's male trainers, and you know, honestly, I've been with male trainers, you know, working at the gym, and I feel like I know more than them. So I mean, Jonathan, I don't see anything wrong with this. Do you?
Believe it or not, my senior in high school, Our trainer was a female. She was extremely intelligent. She knew what she was doing. Did a situation arise that was pretty negative? Yes. Was it her fault? No. She actually protected a player's safety, who was actually my cousin. She helped protect his safety. It was, you know, I had no problems at all. If they know what they're doing, if they know what they're talking about, I have no issue. I don't care if they're male or female. I don't care if they're brown, black, blue, or white. If you know what you're doing and you can help protect my body, you know, you're doing your job correctly, please, by all means, help me out because I don't know everything.
Yeah. And also about negotiation. I mean, there's some great women lawyers, debaters out there. I mean, just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you can't out-debate a man. Trust me, I'm married to one that can easily out-debate a man, so I know from experience. So thanks for the call. We really appreciate that, and we'll post that on our board. And we just got off the NBA. And, Jonathan, I'm going to go ahead and predict Miami to win this game 7, and I'm going to predict it by a very small margin. I think this is going to be a fourth-quarter game. It's going to come down to the last 4 minutes, and I think LeBron James is going to be too much.
Well, LeBron can't do it himself, and if Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh do not step up, then Indiana's going to win. After watching Game 6 and watching what was essentially a debacle on the Heat side, I will lean towards the Indiana Pacers for Game 7. I will say they will win anywhere from 1 to 6 points.
Wow, so you're predicting the Pacers to win this game. Not a bad pick. I mean, a lot of people didn't see this coming, but I'll take physical and athletic any day over what I'm seeing from Miami. I mean, LeBron James is one man. He's one human being. He's great. Don't get me wrong. He's the best on the planet right now. But you can't beat a defense like this one man. Look at the Detroit Pistons and the Bulls back in the day when Jordan and Pippen. Jordan could not beat them by himself. I mean, Scottie Pippen took a beating. I mean, he suffered from migraines after the beating he took. And, you know, he had to step up his game and man up and decide he wanted to win a championship, and that's what got him to that. So I think Dwayne Wade, he's older now, Jonathan. He's in his mid-30s. His knees are hurting. He's going to have to man up for one more game. But even if they get past this game, can they get past the San Antonio Spurs? That's another question.
I don't think so. San Antonio is too well rested. Everybody's healthy. They are clicking on all cylinders right now. Great leadership. With Parker, Ginobili, Duncan. You have the great young guns and Splitter and Green and Leonard. I think San Antonio is too talented. Too much leadership and the best coach in the game. I don't think Miami, after a tough series like this, can come back and be 100% to take on the Spurs, unfortunately.
Sonia in the chat room says the Heat won't have enough, you know, won't have an answer for Parker, and she's exactly right. I mean, I just don't see them being able to keep up with him. But you never know. I mean, it's the NBA. You never know what's going to happen. But we're going to shift off the NBA, and I want to get into some college football a little bit. We're not going to go too long tonight. We're going to get into some hockey as well. Jason Minson's going to come on later, hopefully, if he can, and talk some hockey with us. So, Jason, feel free to call in. I want you to try to educate me on some hockey. So let's go to college football. And, you know, G's back in the news again with Ohio State. They came out, you know, they just posted bits and pieces of what he said. He was taking shots at the SEC once they learned to read and write. He was talking about Kentucky, now Louisville, and Texas, actually. So think about all this. This guy's bashing some of these teams, Notre Dame, Louisville, Kentucky, Alabama, I mean, any team in the South. So Jonathan, I mean, have you ever seen someone so jealous of a conference in your life almost?
You know, I actually, other than, like, from a fan base standpoint, I haven't. And his comments were ridiculous. And he did come out and apologize. He said he apologized for his, to quote him, misguided attempt at humor and for hurtful remarks. And let's be honest. Somebody just needs to put a muzzle on him and tell him, look, you need to stop. This has gotten ridiculous, because it has. Every time there's something about Ohio State now, he's always going to, like when he called out Boise State and TCU. It's gotten way, way, way too far out of hand. I'm not calling for his job, but I'm calling for him to be silent.
Well, all you did now is, if you're Ohio State and you look at their schedule, I mean, they're probably going to run the table. They should. Let me put this this way. They should run the table. Ohio State has a very easy, manageable schedule. All of their tough games at home. They don't play – I don't believe they play Michigan State or Nebraska. So that's two tough opponents in the conference right there. They're going to be able to escape. So just say this. Say Alabama makes it out of the SEC to the national championship. Say Ohio State does. I mean, first of all, Nick Saban's already shown Urban Meyer the door. And now, to give bulletin board material to an SEC opponent, regardless of who it is, I mean, that's just crazy. If you're Ohio State, you want to come under the radar a little bit. You don't want someone out there running their mouth just acting crazy. Because, look, the bottom line is, he said Urban Meyer left Florida because it was corrupt. The SEC was corrupt. And yet, Ohio State's so squeaky clean, Jonathan, that they were on probation when he came and took over. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were cheating, paying players with extra benefits, and yet the SEC, he left the SEC because they were cheating. And if you look at the shots he took on Louisville, guess what? Louisville won a national championship in basketball. Look at Kentucky 2 years ago. They won the national championship in basketball. And Texas, they've been a powerhouse for a long time. They've come down a little bit in the last few years, but still, everybody he talks about has done something that he'll never do and has never done is win a championship. So, I mean, this article makes this guy look terrible. And if you're Ohio State, you really have to look at replacing this guy.
Yeah. If he was the president at Florida State, I would have called for his head. He probably already would have been fired. Let's just face facts. If this, you know, this has gotten ridiculous. He just needs to stop. This just needs to stop.
Exactly. And Sonia, what do you think about this guy after the comments? I mean, would you let him keep his job, honestly, if you're in the Big Ten?
First off, Gordon G is an absolute moron. Okay, there's no two cents about it. The man is a moron. To be in a position where you are, I can understand an athletic director maybe making those comments or trying to be joking like that. I can also see it coming from a coach, because we've heard that before. We've heard Brett Bielema, okay, the mouse, who's now in the SEC. We've heard him. We've heard a bunch of coaches make little jabs and comments about fellow conferences. But someone in his position, first of all, the only thing you need to be talking about is raising money. That's it. You need to keep your mouth shut. As far as his job, I wouldn't say, put it like this, if he did anything else after this, because I think this is maybe his third strike, he'd be out. If I were involved, he would be out.
True.
And if you read, I read both articles, and this man attacked Catholics, he attacked Notre Dame, he attacked the SEC, he does not understand. And the fact that he says in one of the comments one of the venues or the meetings where he goes, you know, I hope this stays in here or this better stay in here, that lets you know that he knew that what he was saying was wrong. So don't give me that, oh, it was misconstrued or it was a bad joke. No, you meant exactly what you said. So don't sit there and try to blow smoke up my behind with all that. No, you need to sit your behind down, focus on running the school. Don't go around any microphone, any television camera, nothing. Focus on that. And for a lot of TOSU fans, I can't talk tonight for some reason, a lot of Ohio State fans that we have in our groups, they've even come out and said that he is an embarrassment. They are totally ashamed of this guy. They want Ohio State to get rid of him. They're sick of it. And as far as him talking about any sort of sanctions or dirty programs, you know, he used to be at Vanderbilt, and he talks about, oh, the SEC is bad or whatever. Dude, Ohio State has been in more trouble since you've been president than they have in their entire history. So something's not right there. And I'm just saying, Gordon, you just need to sit down, shut up, deal with his desk, stay away from microphones, stay away from cameras, and let the football team, the athletic director, let those guys do what they need to do and just leave it be. He is an embarrassment.
Yeah, I mean, if you can apologize if you say one thing, if you come across and say one thing and say, oh, you took it out of context. But when you sit there for an hour and bash everyone that comes to your mind, it's not a joke anymore.
He did the same with TCU. What was his comment not too long ago about TCU? He made some comment about them. He's a crass person. And one thing that I've noticed as far as, and I'm not just going to say the Big Ten because I'm married to a guy from the Big Ten, but I don't know if it's that area or that region where there is a lack of class and a lack of couth. They're just very coarse and crass when they decide they want to express what they're thinking. And it's like, come on, guys, really? And then when you really break it down and you compare the records, and I'm like, wait, you want to talk about the two teams that played for the national championship last season, then one of those teams that you were seriously courting, and where was your team? Oh, they weren't there because they were on what? Oh, probation, because you weren't paying too much attention because you were too busy bashing TCU and everybody else. Dude, don't bring that crap to me.
Well, the thing he did, he bashed Brett Bielema. He left Wisconsin to go to Arkansas, and he said Wisconsin wanted him out because Barry Alvarez thought he was a thug. I mean,
exactly. And then Barry Alvarez had to step in and say, "I'd never had that conversation. I never had those thoughts." You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like you bring all these people into it, and it just makes you, your conference, everybody look bad. This is a time when the Big Ten is they're on the rise. They're trying to come back up.
Tarvin.
My Big Ten
Anchor
Gopher.
There is a reason why players, coaches, even some fans. Now, I'm not saying all TSU fans. There's a reason why they don't say Ohio State. They say the Ohio State. Okay. Don't classify the whole Big Ten with that kind of mentality because we're not. It is the Ohio State. It's a sense of superiority. That's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the reason why they're probably the most hated team in the Big Ten.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so no one has respect for that program. I'll give them props. Urban's trying to fix it. But he's got a tall mountain because there's a lot of history. And Guy is really an embarrassment just for the simple fact on how he handled the Tressel incident. You're going to suspend him for 2 games, and then when you get more slack, you're going to suspend him for 4 more games.
Oh, don't forget what he's.
And then when you get more slack, then you're going to fire him? Please. So, you know, I'm a realist when it comes to my conference. We got two teams worth of crap in the Big Ten. Okay, and even if Ohio State goes undefeated in that weak schedule, please. And I have this distinct feeling that they're going to lose to Michigan in Michigan this year. They don't play anyone.
I do too.
And I made this analogy today in another group. It's like, well, if TSOSU, whatever, Ohio State was in, you know, the SEC, then they would be claiming conference toughness. And I made the analogy, it's like you can't compare Purdue, Wisconsin, and Penn State to LSU, Alabama,
Georgia, Florida.
I mean, no, not even close. So as far as, you know, an undefeated Ohio State is like a two-loss team in the SEC. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the God-honest truth.
It's like a two-loss LSU, I think you said before.
Yeah.
And
I
this
mean,
is it. And this, and before all the listeners, this is a Big Ten, grew up in the Big Ten, born in Minnesota, has been following Big Ten teams his entire life. So he's not an SEC homer.
No,
I just want to put that disclaimer out there.
I'm just real. I mean, our conference has a long ways to go as far as getting competitive. And what irritates me probably the most about what I hear from some Michigan fans and a lot of Ohio State fans is that sense of superiority and just bashing lower teams like Minnesota and Iowa and, you know, even Northwestern in a point in time. You don't want us to be bad. You want us to be competitive because it's only going to benefit you when it comes down to rankings.
Right, which is Urban's message.
Which is Urban's message. I mean, Urban is urging the other coaches to build your programs. He's like Saban. He wants competition.
Yep.
I bet you it gets under his skin for the simple fact that, you know, he looked at that schedule and he's like crying because it's not enough to get him into the big dance.
Yep. Even with the one loss, when you look at that strength of schedule, and not to beat a dead horse as far as Gordon G, but as we talk about this, and Tarvin, we've talked about this in the group and offline, actually, you and I have had conversations about coaches and people in authority being held accountable for their words. There are some things, if we're going to hold players accountable, then why should we let the coaches, the ADs, people like Gordon, you know, give them a slap on the wrist and they just apologize? No, it's just like the story that just broke. What is it? What I forgot what school it was, where the golf, I think it was a female golf, she washed her car on campus. They reported that they had to report that as an infraction because she benefited from using the hose and the team's and the school's water. So she had to reimburse them for $20 because it was going to be an infraction. So when you've got silly things like this going on and people talking out the side of their neck and saying just what they want to, and then they come back and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I really didn't mean to say that, please forgive me. No, there needs to be accountability.
Yeah, there does. And the Big Ten right now, it seems like year in and year out, as long as the SEC, and it happened when Florida beat Ohio State that year, something happened. And I'm hearing a background noise. Am I on in the background?
No.
No.
Okay.
Hey, Tarvin, here's another analogy, too. The Big Ten adds Maryland and Rutgers. Maryland and Rutgers. And the SEC adds Missouri and Texas A&M. Big disparity. It's like the Big Ten didn't add two powerhouses for football. Now, Maryland for basketball, but definitely not football, so they didn't do themselves any favors except for TV market.
And look at what those teams are doing now. You've got a TAMU, you've got an SEC TAMU team that basically just showed out. I mean, their first year. Mizzou didn't do too bad, but
they'll get it
because they're gonna want to be competitive. But it all goes back to what Jason was saying. When you've got a conference that is not as strong as you think it is, and for some reason they have this arrogance that they are so much better than they are, you know, I look at the Big 12. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, when you've got somebody like that, you've got that arrogance that's so prevalent throughout the conference. When you are dealing, when you're talking about a conference like the SEC, or even let's even go over to the Pac-12, you know what I mean? It's like you've got USC, you've got Oregon. Those are your two top teams.
You got UCLA coming on the rise.
Right, you got UCLA. So it's like the Big Ten needs to bring it, pull it together and realize, unlike in the past when you had some dominance, you're not that same conference anymore, and you're being exposed. So if you plan on playing with the big boys, then put on your big boy pants, get rid of some of that arrogance, start recruiting, start playing these out-of-conference games, start, you know, dealing with what the other conferences are doing, start doing that. But the number one thing is lose that chip on your shoulder and lose that arrogance.
And the message that Urban sent to the other coaches in the Big Ten at the Big Ten meeting was you have got to start recruiting in the South. Urban knows that. He's grabbing talent in the South. And my Gophers are a perfect example of that. This recruiting class, Kill actually went South to get some recruits.
Well, you have to. If you're gonna compete, let's face it. I mean, most of the athletes, the 5-star and the 4-star, they're in the South and the West. I mean, they're not up North. Not a majority of them. So you have to go down and actually recruit these guys if you're going to compete with those guys.
And what did Minnesota get? They got some Southern recruits, but they were only 3-stars. But to us, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, what we would be recruiting is JUCO players and cast-offs that no one else wanted. But now we're actually able to go down and get 3-stars. You know, and Kill is the type of coach that can actually develop those 3-stars into 4-stars. So, you know, I'm very pleased that, you know, Kill got the message.
Yeah, it's like this. If you're going to go into the South and you're going to get these players, the number, there's two things that you've got to show them. You've got to show them that, number one, you're competitive. That means they're going to be in a bowl game, they're going to be seen, they're going to be playing in front of millions of people. I mean, it's all about ego for these kids. That's number one. Number two, what have you done for me lately? What have you guys, what's your history? What's going on? You've got to sell these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're coming to the South and you're trying to talk to, you know, just say a 5-star LB over here or a 5-star TE or a cornerback or whoever, and you're sitting there and you're trying to convince them, leave the South and come up here, come up North, come up here where it's cold and play for us. Then guess what? They're going to ask you, well, wait a minute. I can go over here to Georgia or Alabama or down to Florida.
Texas.
Or over to Texas. I can go over here because, you know, at least I know they're going to be on television. I know they're going to be playing in a bowl game or for a national. They actually have a shot at the national championship. Can you do any of that?
Yeah, and one thing about Bielema, and people may bash him for going to Arkansas, but Wisconsin's run for a number of years with Bielema and Alvarez, Bielema was getting his recruits from the South. So when he went down to Arkansas, that just shortened his drive and his flight. He already has his recruiting ground, so he'll do pretty decent for Arkansas. But he was a poster child of proving you got to go South for talent. You know, Minnesota's problem is they have a hard time keeping their own kids in Minnesota. So,
yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah.
Well, that's our 10 cents, Tarvin. We didn't mean to beat a dead horse, but you just hit a very sensitive topic and a hot topic in our groups right there.
Well, I knew I would, guys, and I want to thank y'all for the call and stay on and appreciate the feedback. And anytime you start talking about college football, people start coming out of the woodworks. And you know, when I look at the Big Ten right now, they're wanting to be where the SEC is, and honestly, they're wanting to be where the Big 12 is. If you notice the remark you made talking about the Big 12 network or the Texas Zone network that they made, said it was just a total failure. Well, maybe so far it hasn't been exactly where Texas would like it, but I guarantee you it's not going to be a failure because when you look at Texas, they're going to succeed. I mean, Texas is huge. A&M left Texas just because of that reason alone, which it helped the SEC right now. But you have to believe Texas is going to be back, Jonathan. That's just the way it is with Texas. And I don't think they made a huge mistake by starting their own network.
You know, the Texas network streams a lot of Notre Dame when it comes to NBC. So it was very interesting when they made that move, especially once you realize that it's their own network. They get to pick and choose, and it kind of almost sends a message that they want to separate from the Big 12, which they haven't. So Texas's network, I think, has done wonders for them actually recruiting them. And we've seen it. They have high-rated recruiting classes, but the talent hasn't really showed on the field. I'd like to see it, whether it's a Mack Brown issue or whether these kids aren't actually as good as the stars they're getting.
Exactly. And while we're on college football, I want to bring up something. We're going to do our top 25 next week. We'll probably have a lot of people in, you know, to go over their rankings. And we're going to post it out on Weigh In Sports and Pigskin Pride. But Oregon Ducks right now, I'm looking at that team, and people have them in their top two or three in their preseason top 25 polls. But if I'm an Oregon fan right now, Jonathan, I'm worried for two reasons. And the first reason I'm worried is, you know, I lost Chip Kelly. I mean, I think he really resurrected that Oregon program and made them what they are. I mean, he had some help, of course, but I think the recruiting is going to suffer a little bit. But look, what's going to happen this summer when they meet in front of the board and they get a bowl ban, just like Ohio State got? I mean, I can really see Oregon ineligible to play in a bowl game this year, Jonathan.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me. They kind of slapped the NCAA in the face over this whole thing. It's been, oh, we haven't done anything wrong. No, this is what you did wrong. Well, that's not wrong. I don't care what you say. It's not. And it's like, come on, Oregon. Accept the mistakes you made. Accept the penalties and move on. And that's going to be an issue for Oregon. Chip Kelly getting out of Dodge as quickly as he did is another issue, because we saw how USC got slammed when Pete Carroll left. And Pete Carroll got out quickly. So could we be looking at another USC situation? I don't know if they're going to face severe sanctions. But, because the Reggie Bush thing, let's face it, wasn't as big of a deal as the NCAA made it out to be. So what's Oregon actually going to look at? Is it going to be a one-year ban and loss of scholarships, or is it going to be worse because they kind of fought the NCAA the whole way?
Well, you have to look at it like this, Jonathan. Ohio State, with the tattoos and things like that, the bowl ban. I believe Alabama with textbooks. I believe they had a bowl ban that year. I'm not for sure. But you look at a coach using guys, paying players or paying this guy to go out and get these players, and Chip Kelly covering it up. And I know we've talked about this before, but I just never thought of it like this. I think Oregon is out of the championship race just because they're going to have a bowl ban. There's no fair treatment. There's no fair punishment that you can give without a bowl ban, in my opinion, because you look at all these other teams that had to have a bowl ban, and honestly, I think what Oregon did is right up there. You know, I mean, nothing worse than what happened at Penn State, but I'm talking about right there where your coach knows what's going on, your head coach, your AD, all of these guys understand what was going on. Chip Kelly left Oregon for the reason that he knew they was going to get hammered, and he was the cause of it. I mean, he would still be at Oregon today, and some people tell me I'm crazy for this, but he would still be at Oregon today if this hadn't have come out. I'm telling you, Chip Kelly would not have left Oregon where he was a god, a king. He ran college football up there. And, you know, the expectations for Oregon, I mean, if they make a BCS bowl, win the Rose Bowl, that's a very successful season. But if you look at, say, Alabama, if they go 11-1 and get left out, that's a disappointment. So the expectations at Oregon are different. Now he's going to the NFL, and the only expectation the Eagles fans have is to win every football game. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I'm going to go ahead and say it right now on air, Jonathan, that the Oregon Ducks will receive a bowl ban when it comes out this summer.
Okay.
I'm going to bring in Jason Humphrey real quick. Jason Humphrey is an Oregon Ducks fan, and I want to hear what he has to say about this. What's up, Jason? Welcome back.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys? I just tuned in to the show. Just watched my Duck baseball team close to game 3 on Monday, or whatever you call it. So, what's up, guys?
What's up? Tell us about the Oregon Ducks. When it comes down to probation, do you think Oregon's going to be able to play in a bowl this year?
Yes and no, because you do have a point that is up there with not as Reggie Bush, because if you look at it, this is about like season, right? How many downs of football did he play? Zero. I don't think that matters. But I think if they do, it's going to be a one-year bowl ban and scholarships, if they do.
Yeah, you're right, Jason. I think I'll listen to you. You're an Oregon Ducks fan. You're one of the best Oregon Ducks fans I know. We're going to take that as a compliment. And if you say it's going to be a bowl ban, I believe it more. And the thing, the reason I say that, it's not because I hate Oregon, because, you know, I don't dislike Oregon.
You're a supporter.
Yeah, I'm a supporter. I like the Ducks. But the problem is, even though the player didn't play, it was a cover-up by the coach. The coach was involved in this, and it makes me wonder how many other players. And Jason, I know it happens everywhere. Don't get me wrong. It's not just Oregon.
I know.
How many other players came to Oregon because of this? How many other players came to Oregon because of this same guy and maybe different guys that were paid money to come play? That's what I think
about. There's rumors that Dana Thomas got involved with this guy, LaMichael James, Texas players from the state of Texas, and whatnot. So, like I said, it's a one-year bowl ban, but we all know the NCAA is like a girlfriend that never tells you anything. They're so confusing about the punishments and whatnot, you know? The NCAA is really inconsistent about the punishments. And
you're exactly right, Jason, and I appreciate the call, buddy. Jason Humphrey is a supporter of the show, and he's a big Oregon Ducks fan, and we're getting close to out of time. So, Jason, thanks for the call. Stay in the chat room with us. Listen online. And Oregon, like Sonia said in the chat room, could be a repeat offender, Jonathan, and that's not good with the NCAA. So you're on that repeat offender list. It's not good. You're getting some big probation. It's not going to be a slap on the wrist either, I don't believe. And it's just the cover-up they had. I mean, you cannot punish Oregon. I mean, I'm very passionate about this without a bowl ban.
I agree.
All right, good. So the preseason is coming out, and we're going to talk about it. But there's one team out there that I want to discuss, the Louisville Cardinals, man. I mean, they have an easy schedule, and everybody's on their bandwagon. They have them ranked number 4th right now in the nation. Jonathan, can you hear me okay? Does everything sound good?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I've had a little problem here tonight. But Louisville, I mean, looking at their schedule, I mean, it's terrible. Their non-conference schedule, Ohio, Eastern Kentucky, Kentucky, and Florida International. And their only road games in the Big East are Temple, South Florida, Connecticut, and Cincinnati. Louisville will run the table this year. I'm not saying they won't. I believe looking at that schedule, I think Vanderbilt could run the table. I think Ole Miss would run the table. So does Louisville deserve to play in a BCS championship game if they go undefeated? And if they do, do you think it's because they upset Florida 33-23 last year?
That Florida game, that Sugar Bowl victory has a huge bearing on their preseason ranking this year, especially with Teddy Bridgewater for the Heisman candidacy. That Sugar Bowl game has elevated Louisville enormously. I don't think they're going to defeat it. I think they lose to Cincinnati last week of the year. I will guarantee right now, Louisville loses to Cincinnati last week of the year. It's a Thursday night game on the road, and what we've seen from the Big East, we saw it from West Virginia, that last week of the year, they're all set to go to a championship game. They're already looking ahead. They're not paying attention. They get upset by a rival. I guarantee you Cincinnati beats Louisville, and Louisville will finish 11-1 and wind up in the Fiesta Bowl or the Orange Bowl, something like that.
You know, I think it's the Rose Bowl this year is where the championship is going to be played. And I guarantee you there will be some suicides committed if they make it to that game and the ratings of it. Because, look, let's face it. Let's look at Florida. I mean, people say that was such a great win, and it was a good win. Don't get me wrong. But how good was Florida last year? Probably one of the worst offenses besides Auburn in the SEC. They had no quarterback. I mean, their defense was good, but did they really want to be there? in that game? And that's a question. Louisville prepared. Bridgewater is a good quarterback, but they're acting like he's the second coming of Christ, and he's going to take Louisville to the championship. And, I mean, Bridgewater is a good quarterback. He's good in that offense. But is he an elite quarterback in your mind, Jonathan?
No. The reason why I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is an elite quarterback is that since he was from Miami Northwestern High School, I did get to watch him a lot, being from Florida. And he had an awful senior year. And he decommitted from Miami. And after he decommitted from Miami, Miami essentially said, all right, well, I mean, what are we really losing? And that's why he wound up at a school like Louisville and not a school like Auburn or Georgia, a big name program. Teddy Bridgewater had a nice year in the Big East. Just like, you know, Jared Zambranski had great years in the WAC. Are you really impressed by that? Of course not.
Yeah. And you know, he's a good quarterback, don't get me wrong. Is he a Heisman candidate? Maybe top 15, if I'm looking at it, just to get him in the conversation and get someone in the Big East. But we're going to find out a lot this year. I mean, preseason talk's great and all. It gives us something to talk about, but we really don't know what's going to happen. But there's one team out there right now that I think – there's two teams right now that I would say to watch out for in college football. And Michigan, I think Devin Garner's a good quarterback. I think the Michigan has it going on over there. If they can beat Ohio State in that last game, watch out. I mean, you never know. I like what Michigan's doing. I know a lot of – I think Minson hates Michigan, but I really like Devin Gardner a lot better than Denard Robinson. And the Clemson Tigers in the ACC. I know you hate them too, Jonathan, but Taj Boyd is going to be one of those people getting the dinner this year for the Heisman Trophy. You have Sammy Watkins back. I mean, Taj Boyd, if you saw him in the LSU game, you could see as the year from game one till that game, you could see the maturity, the development of him. And with Morris, the offensive coordinator, I mean, I don't see Clemson losing an ACC game unless they stumble like they did last year and lose to a nobody. And that's what Clemson is known for. So tell me about Clemson this year. Just in your opinion, I know you're an ACC guy. Do they have a chance to win a national championship?
Clemson has a chance. They do. Because if they can run the table and beat Georgia and beat Florida State and beat South Carolina, I don't know how you can keep them out. Even if they lose to Georgia and then run the table from there, you cannot keep them out. They have Florida State at home, and it is a proven fact by now, if you haven't known. Florida State has a really tough time up in Death Valley. I mean, a miserable time. It is sad. I thought we were playing at Clemson this year, and I said, well, there's a loss. You know, my problem with Clemson, though, is they lost Ellington at running back, they lost Hopkins at receiver, and their defense was really shaky last year. When you lose your blanket at receiver and you're throwing in new running backs, I'm always going to be wary.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing about the offense and that offense and the system they run. I mean, you can stick people in, and as long as they're athletic, they'll be able to get some carries. But Taj Boyd has really impressed me, and Clemson and Dabo Swinney have done a great job of recruiting. And you look at they're in there in the conversation with all of these big-time recruits. So Dabo Swinney has brought Clemson back to relevancy. And, you know, I don't like Dabo at all. So I'm talking him up tonight. His recruiting is top-notch. He's got a great program there. He's got a lot to offer. So Clemson is one of those teams. Last year, I think they were a little high. This year, I think they're a little low. They start out around 12th in the experts' opinion. And I think Clemson could sneak up there, but you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, and I'm going to talk about Texas A&M next week. We're going to talk about them. Are they really a top five team? Are they really a national championship contender? And I just don't know. I don't think so. And we're going to find out very early in the college football season how good Texas A&M is. You're at home. Mm-hmm. You have the defending champion. You guess what? Your prize, you get to play Nick Saban that you beat a year ago. So I don't know. That's the game. If Texas A&M can pull that out and beat Alabama, I mean, I think they could probably possibly go all the way, but it is the SEC. It's a little tougher. But I think another team that's going to be up there that's real good is Stanford, you know. I mean, just they're a blue-collar team. They run the ball physically. They play two tight ends. They play defense. Very impressed with what they're doing at Stanford. That's another team that we'll keep an eye on. But to pick a top 25 next week is going to be hard because – you know there's going to be that team that we don't mention that's making a run during the season, Jonathan. It's just very hard to predict these teams once you get past 10. It's just very hard.
Yes, it is. It is extremely, extremely difficult to predict the preseason top 25, just like to predict the Heisman winner. Who would have picked Johnny Manziel to win the Heisman last year? Or Manziel to finish second?
Not me. I didn't even know who Johnny Manziel was, really. I really paid no attention to him. I remember predicting them to win about 6 games on the year, and that made me look crazy almost. But Texas A&M has their weaknesses. They do have their weaknesses, trust me. They lost some offensive line, some defense, and it's just hard. You lose your offensive coordinator as well, and he went over to another Big 12 school. So it's just going to be fun just to see how this year is going to shape out. We're going to break it down like nobody else is going to break it down. I promise you that. We're going to go through these teams all year from now until the season starts. We're going to have some big shows lined up, special guests. Tom Luganville is going to be back on. We're going to have Sherbert from CBS, the head, back on. So we're going to get some primetime guests, and I'm sure Jason and Sonia are going to come in and pick some football with us on our panel. And Roger, we might even get him to watch some college football. I want to say hi to Roger in the chat room, Cuervo, Jason Humphrey, Jason Minson, Sonia. I appreciate all y'all coming. And Cuervo's taking a shot at Auburn in there. I don't know what his deal is. I know now. I remember what I did to him, Jonathan. I might not repeat it on air. He could get upset.
Yeah, he might get a little upset if you did that, just like if he, you know, repeated what I said to him on air. Well, not on air, but in the chat room about 2 weeks ago, so.
Yeah, and I know Roger's having a joke night this week. I believe it's this week. And he has another special guest coming on his show. So, Roger, good luck with your shows this week. Hope everything goes good. I've been trying to get in touch with Roger since yesterday. He must be – I thought he was in depression, you know, since the Mets swept the Yankees, and then the Mets come down and get swept by the sorry Marlins. I mean, I would be upset too, Roger. I really would.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
John Billingsley
yeah.
is his guest tomorrow. John Billingsley. Do you know John Billingsley, Jonathan?
If I remember correctly from Roger, John Billingsley is an actor from True Blood. Roger, let me know in the chat room if I'm right, but I believe that's what he said, and it's going to be a no holding back, full on show. So if you're not if you don't like strong language, I would suggest that show is not for you.
I do not like strong language, Jonathan. I'm opposed to cursing. So, Roger, I need a PG version of your show, man. Can you possibly do that for me? But anyway, good luck with the show, and we'll be tuning in here at Way In Sports. Roger just posted it in the chat room. And Sonia also said we're going to have some NFL players on the show. They're trying to book them for us, and we appreciate that. And we are going to get some good guests on here. We had some NFL in college last year, and I'm ready to hit it big this year. We're going into our second year now, but this will be our second football season. So the first one was very successful. Now this one's going to have to be gigantic. So if you have friends, family out there that really loves college football, NFL, please come direct us to this show. I mean, we're going to do a great job for you week in and week out. I should have screened that moron that called in earlier and not let him on the phone, but my bad, guys. But I'll take care of that after this show, I promise. But let's go to baseball real quick. My wife just pointed at me like, hey, it's time to go. So let's go to Major League Baseball real quick. I just want to run through something real quick. Looking at the Atlanta Braves, we'll go over that. They actually lost game one to the Nationals, and they won the next two. They took the series, but Jonathan, when I'm watching baseball, and I'm really paying close attention to it this year, I'm really seeing a lot of inconsistencies from the big-name teams when they play these smaller teams. I mean, look at the Angels, and you called it. I mean, the Astros took care of business, and I would have never guessed that the Houston Astros would have beaten the Angels the last two games here. And the Miami Marlins taking care of the Mets. And I know the Mets aren't a powerhouse, but what's going on in baseball right now? I mean, it's just all over the place.
Some parity. It's fun. It brings some excitement to the game because, you know, you want some unpredictability in the game. And so does Vegas, let's be honest. So, yeah, I like it. I think it's enjoyable. As long as my Rays keep winning, we beat Cleveland 11-3 today. I don't care who else loses to who, as long as Tampa keeps winning, guys.
Yeah, and I want to get Jason on real quick before we go. I want to get him because I forgot about the hockey, and he's going to come on and talk about the hockey. So, Jason, real quick, man, tell us. Jason, you told me that Pittsburgh was going to take care of business, but you also told me they were very inconsistent. So what are your thoughts on the playoffs so far?
Well, I mean, first, the four teams that are playing right now, that's your four last Stanley Cup winners. So there's a reason why those four teams are where they are. With Pitt always has that one wake-up game. They didn't show up the first game. I mean, that's just it.
So the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, I'm hearing an echo. So the Chicago Blackhawks right now look like they're up 2-0. How do you see that series going? Actually, I know Jonathan's a big Blackhawks fan and everything, Jason. But do you think they're just going to sweep this series right now at 2-0, or you think they're going to struggle going on the road?
No, I wouldn't say that it would be a sweep. But when you look at probably Pittsburgh and Chicago, you're looking at probably the two most talented teams in the NHL right now. Chicago's killing LA right now, 4-1. Kind of surprising to me because I thought LA finally got into that rhythm of what they had last year for when they made the run for the Stanley Cup. They'll stumble probably one or two games. I mean, Jonathan will tell you, Chicago's that type of team that some games it'll drive you absolutely nuts. They'll end up winning the series probably in six. Pittsburgh, when I watched them, they have probably the three deepest lines. Every single line that they have, they're all scorers. Chicago, I would say two of their lines are that stellar. When you watch Chicago and you watch Pittsburgh, you're watching kind of a different kind of hockey. It's so fluid. They move the puck so good. There's no choppy passes, you know, and they feed off each other. I don't see it going any other way. I just think I see Pittsburgh and Chicago playing in the finals. Between those two, that's a pretty even match. It all boils down to star power and a hot goalie. And right now, Chicago, they got a hot goalie. So, we'll see. I mean, it's hockey.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and we want to get you on. We'll get on the next show or something. We'll break it down even more. But Pittsburgh, I mean, did it surprise you that they lost game one the way they did?
No, because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Pittsburgh has kind of that sense of arrogance, and I honestly kind of believe they kind of took Boston too light, and they got pounded, and they royally got pounded. I have a feeling that they're starting first line. They got a lecture from Crosby. There'll be a different team that shows up on Monday. Like I said, Pittsburgh always has that one game where it's like, oh, crap. And then they get it together. So you'll see a different Pittsburgh team on Monday. Chicago might just steamroll through L.A., though. I mean, they're that good. Even when they played Minnesota, they stumbled one game. That was it. And that one game, they lost the corners. And then from that game on, they made a point to win those corner battles and to win those faceoffs, and that was the end of story. So they're both very good at making adjustments. I think it'll be an excellent final. I just don't see Boston or L.A. moving on.
Well, we're going to have to get you on here and possibly Brett Graham, get him back on the show, Jason. And
sure,
we're about to cut it off, but thanks for the time, and we'll see you on the next show, and we'll talk some more hockey. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to cut it just a little short tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Take care, Tom.
All right, thanks, buddy. All right, you too, buddy. Well, Jonathan, I mean, I know you're a big Blackhawks fan, and I can't leave you out of this discussion real quick. I mean, tell me your thoughts on the two matchups real quick before we move on.
I never would have thought Chicago would come out and score the way they did tonight. I love it. I'm really proud of my Blackhawks, the way we fought at a 3-1 hole in Detroit. That was fantastic. We finally woke up. Crawford's looking great. Our defensemen are looking good. If I watched the Pittsburgh-Boston game, and I was stunned. Pittsburgh just did not look ready. They looked rusty. It was kind of embarrassing to watch for somebody who picked Pittsburgh to win the series. But I did pick Pittsburgh to win in 7, just like I picked Chicago to win in 7. And my minds haven't changed either way, because L.A. is still a really, really, really tough team at home. They haven't lost at home in all in these playoffs. I'm excited. I really want to see the Blackhawks bring home the cup. And a little random fact, the last four teams right now in Pittsburgh, Boston, Chicago, and L.A. are also the last four Stanley Cup winners. Just shows you how these teams have been able to stick together and continue to play well.
Well, you and Jason both, you know, have the same teams, it sounds like. So I'm going to have to stay on the bandwagon with y'all. I'm going to have to pick Pittsburgh and Chicago. I know Cuervo will be happy if Chicago wins. You know, I think he's in Chicago, so I'm sure he's a Blackhawks fan. But, hey, watching hockey, I'm interested in it. It's one of the only sports you can actually start a fight, and actually the referees will let you fight. I mean, when do they break it up? When they hit the ground? Is that when the officials actually come in and break it up, or is it – how does that go?
Well, the rules of a hockey fight are both players have to actually want to fight. Both players, if one of them doesn't want to fight, the refs will break it up right away. If they get into a fight, the one guy hits the ground, break it up. If it becomes stale or stagnant and it's 2-3 minutes of them just exchanging punches and going in, you know, circle, and it's just like, all right, this isn't going to end for an hour. We're going to break it up now. Hockey fights are great. I don't care who you are. Watch hockey because it's physical.
I love it. I mean, to sit there, I mean, these guys are tough. I mean, they take so much contact and the danger of playing that. I was watching it last night, just amazed, and I can't even keep up with the puck. I mean, who has it, why they're doing it this way, but very entertaining. I'm just waiting for that fight to break out. That's what I'm watching for. But it's getting – I used to say I would never watch a hockey game. You know, I would never sit down and watch it. But since I started this show and Jason and you and some other ones to talk about hockey, it just piqued my interest a lot. But it's fun, actually, especially I guess I'm picking a good time to start watching is when the playoffs, the Final Four here, it's going to be fun to see. I hope to see 7 games in both series. I know you probably don't hope that, but I want to see the best games. And they're easier to predict than baseball games, I have to tell you.
They can be. They really can be. Hockey's in any given night. And people who say home field does not matter in hockey because they're playing on ice, we feed off the energy. We feed off the crowd. That's why L.A.'s tough at home. If you want to see some real fights, go on YouTube and look up the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia series from last year. There were some line brawls. And let me tell you, in a line brawl, there are no rules because there's 5 fights going on at once.
Well, I would like to be at a game when a fight broke out and be right there with my face against the glass watching. So that would be fun. So I'm gonna catch up a hockey game before long. I'm gonna get there and actually watch a game. I know they have some minor league over here as well in Gwinnett, close to Atlanta. I don't even know if Atlanta has a hockey team anymore, do they?
No, actually, the Atlanta Thrashers moved to Winnipeg. They're now they're the Jets again. Yeah, Atlanta couldn't keep the team, couldn't support it, just like the Hawks are in danger of moving to Seattle.
I wonder if Alabama will ever get a hockey team. That would be fun, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be fun. Those fans would be out every day watching that. So cool. And Sonja's like, no, that's not going to happen. So it was fun, you know, watching hockey and learning about it. And back to baseball real quick. I think we're starting to see, before we go, we got about 2 minutes left. I'm starting to see some of these teams' weaknesses and what they're going to need. And we'll get Roger on one night soon to go over some baseball. Since he's the guru in baseball, we'll get him on here with us, Jonathan, and see if we can talk him out of being a Yankees fan. What do you think?
I would love to talk him out of being a Yankees fan, but we already had this discussion before. I don't think it's going to happen, so I just try to keep picking on him. Because 27 rings only go so far.
Roger is a guru. He's questioning me now, you know. He's a guru, but yeah, you are, Roger. Roger knows a lot about baseball. We appreciate him coming on the show. So Sonia's going to post his link, and I'm going to post them for his John Billingsley show. So if y'all want to check it out, make sure you support NDB Media. Great little show there. And I want to congratulate Andrew Tonge, one of my buddies. He has a sports show on Blog Talk Radio, Last News, Last Word Sports News. He is actually a featured host now. His show is featured, so congratulations to him and all the hard work he's put into that show. His show comes on every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. They go from 5 to 6:30 Eastern, and they talk all sports. They like professional sports. They do talk college football, recruiting. They do it all, but they're a very good show. And if you don't know that show, go look it up, Andrew Tonge, T-O-N-G-E, on Blog Talk Radio, Last Word Sports News. So it's a great show. Just want to congratulate them. So it takes a lot of work to get there, and Roger's there as well. So I just want to congratulate them. So Wednesday night, we're going to try to do a show for sure. I'm trying to get a guest lined up, and I won't say any names right now. But if we don't do one Wednesday, we'll definitely be back Sunday night, and we'll try to do the full show then. But I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. It's been a lot of support, and we appreciate it as always. And Jonathan, have a great work week, and everybody out there, have a great work week, and we will see you Wednesday night.
All right, guys. Good night.
All right. Good night, y'all.